Hi, this is Darren Rouse from ProBlogger. Welcome to a ProBlogger interview with a blogger by the name of Holly Becker. Holly runs the blog Decorate Blog, which is a great blog, which I discovered a few weeks ago on the recommendation of a friend, and she's doing some really interesting things. So I wanted to ask her about her experience of that blog, and we'll see where the conversation leads us. So welcome, Holly. Thanks for putting aside the time to chat to ProBlogger readers.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Perhaps if we can just start with a short description of what is this blog, Decorate Blog, and perhaps, you know, where can people find it and where can people find you online?
Oh, sure. Well, first of all, it's Decorate, and it's Decorate, D-E-C-O-R, and then the number 8, blog.com. And my name's Holly Becker, and I'm an American writer and design consultant, but I'm living in Germany at the moment. And I founded this blog in January 2008, and it's mostly about interior design, decorating ideas. And it's really meant to inspire others to live more authentic, creative lifestyle through personalizing their space and finding comfort at home. And yeah, that's Decorate. That's what it's about.
Great. So when did you first discover blogging?
Oh, I discovered it in 1995 when I was really bored at my day job. And I was zoning out, and I found apartment therapy because I was looking for some decorating ideas. And apartment therapy was the first blog I found. And then I was hooked. I started reading, and there were very few design blogs back then. So it was definitely not like it is today. Apartment therapy is definitely the first blog. Yeah.
And what was the motivation for starting it? Did you have grand designs on being, you know, a professional blogger, or was it just more of a hobby in the early days?
Oh, God, no. I had no clue what I was doing. I wish I had, like, this cool master plan, but I had no master plan. Maybe I should start by telling you a little bit about my background. From 1995 until 2005, I was a project manager. And actually, I think I just misspoke. I said I found apartment therapy in 1995. I found it in 2005. I don't even think apartment therapy was around then. But yeah, so anyway, but back to what I was saying. From 1995 until 2005, I was a project manager in the corporate world. And I was basically facilities manager. I managed projects relating to moves and space renovations, things like that. And I also manage communications within human resource. And I worked for a massive mutual funds company in downtown Boston. So I had that job for around 10 years in various departments. And in 2004, I decided that I really wanted to do something far more creative in my life. I was really getting kind of maxed out and tired and just kind of bored. And I felt like, for me, it was either to keep climbing the corporate ladder or to just jump out while I still could do it and while I was still young enough. And so I jumped out of the job. But what I did was in 2004, I started to put together a little plan of action. So I enrolled in an interior design certificate program at a local art school because design and decorating has always been something in my life that I've loved. And I gave myself about a year to prepare for my resignation. And during this year, the design school, you know, that I was in, it really gave me confidence to start testing the waters. So I started taking on clients and I began working with the clients. And in May of 2005, I registered a blog called Decorate on Blogger because at that time I was just really kind of interested in writing a little bit online and seeing what it's all about. But what ended up happening was I didn't do anything with it. I was working with clients. I was in school. I was working a day job. I just didn't have time. And then when I resigned that same year, a few months later in January of 2006, I attended a writing workshop in Boston, and the instructor, who was a New York Times editor, said something that really changed the course of my career. At that time, she said, if you don't have a website, you don't exist. And when she said that, I thought, oh my God, she's right. You know, here I am, a new design consultant, and I have zero online presence. And at that time, my clients were also calling me at all hours of the day, asking for ideas and resources. And so in order to be more accessible to them, I went home after class and I dug out my Blogger password that I had, you know, from my account that I had started 8 months prior. And I just started writing on Decorate. And that's just kind of how it all started. And plus one thing too, during that time is I was really tired of watching or seeing the design world being very closed. That was one thing about design school that I really disliked, was how people really weren't really willing to share their resources. And this kind of bothered me. And also this was the time when it was right before the big handmade movement really kicked off in America. And it was right before Etsy opened their doors. Mm. So when I started writing Decorate, I thought, you know, I'm going to talk about the things that I'm passionate about design, independent design, all of my resource that I'm finding as a student, all of the things that I'm learning, because I just felt like, you know, I need to share all of this. And that's what I started doing.
That's fantastic. I often ask people, did you choose your topic or did it choose you? But I think it probably chose you by the sounds of things.
Yeah.
One of the things I love about your blog is how visual it is. I guess being a design blog, you'd want it to be a bit visual, but have you always included as many images as you do?
Yeah. Well, you know what is in the beginning, what happened was Blogger didn't allow you to do too much with images. You were kind of stuck with a set format. Mm. But then as Blogger evolved and as I evolved as a blogger, I started to learn how to use it more. And then I started to make the photos a little larger. And then about a year and a half, 2 years ago, I jumped over from Blogger to WordPress. And then I started to really be able to make the blog look a little bit more personal.
Mm. Do you take the shots yourself or are you using product shots from other people?
No, definitely the designs that I show that are from other people are definitely from their own portfolios. Yeah. And then there are also photos that I take for the site. And then I have a guest writer who writes once a month and she does a column for me and she takes her own photos for that column as well. I'm trying to get more into putting some of my own photography on the site as well, because I think it just makes it much more of a, you know, a Holly experience. Yeah. I want it to be more personal and, you know, I'm learning to take pretty decent pictures. So I'm kind of getting ready to do that more. But yeah, when I'm talking about other people's work and stuff, I always show photos from their own portfolio. It really does their work more justice than if I were to shoot it.
Yeah. I just find that a blog that just looks interesting just is so much more engaging. So yeah, that was, I mean, I'm a visual person, so it drew me in when I first got there. So I'd keep it up. It's great.
Oh, that's good. Thanks.
Yeah, and I couldn't tell. That's why I asked. I couldn't tell whether you took those images yourself or whether they were someone else. So that's probably a good thing about your own photography,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, well, you know what, too, is when I'm sourcing for content, I definitely, imagery is like number one to me. And so I have this very specific aesthetic, and I just look for products and people that have a similar aesthetic so that there's this theme on my site that's really important to me, to have this overall, this look.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. So you've got a consistency coming through there.
Yeah, that's
important. And you'll attract readers who, you know, have that same, I guess, look as well, or want to.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah. What sort of camera do you use? Side question.
Oh, I use a Lumix. It's not even a DSLR. It's just your basic. It's pretty basic, but it's a good camera. Yeah. And it's dummy friendly. So good. I like it.
Panasonic made good cameras. So I'll get back onto blogging.
I could talk about
photography all day too.
You should talk to my husband. It's his thing.
Oh, cool. Well, I'll have to get into, come and do a guest post on Digital Photography School about how to shoot for design or something.
That would be great, actually. I think more people could use that, especially for product shots for small businesses. People really struggle with that.
For sure. I get asked that question a lot. So, we'll chat about that one. So, how do you come up with ideas for content on Decorate?
Well, you know, I write about what interests me at the moment and what I find inspirational and accessible. I wish I had a master plan behind how I come up with content ideas, but honestly, I don't. I just feature what I connect with and find interesting, and bang, it goes up.
And do you give yourself deadlines, or do you have a posting rhythm that you're trying to hit every week?
1,000 a day.
Yeah.
No, I try to be, I'm definitely very consistent. You know, I like to be on the site every day, Monday through Friday. And sometimes I'll post a few times. Sometimes I'll post 7 times, 8 times. I really like being very flexible with this. I try not to give myself too hard of a schedule, because actually that's why I left the corporate world.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to get out of that and be my own man. And if I jumped out of the corporate sea and I ended up just doing the same thing over and over again, then I don't think I'm really staying true to my mission, which was to have a more flexible schedule. So yeah, I don't have heavy deadlines, but I do plan the Color Me Pretty column, which is authored by Leslie Shuring. She's a talented lady who lives in Los Angeles, and she builds these beautiful photographs, color stories. And so I give her color ideas for her column, and then she spins it through her magic machine, and she creates some beautiful visuals. You'll see that on the site today. And then the second post that I plan is the weekly Etsy Take 5 Tuesdays, which I've been doing for a few years now. I start bookmarking shops about a week in advance, and then on Tuesdays I pull it all together and I publish it. But besides those two, there's really no rhyme or reason.
Mm. So why did you start the 5 Tuesday, the Etsy one? Was that the idea of a weekly post? I think a lot of bloggers could learn a lot from. Was that a strategic thing, or you just kept writing on that type of topic and it just made sense to keep going on a weekly basis?
Yeah, you know, it just happened organically. I received so many submissions from Etsy shop owners, and they were really piling up in my inbox, and I felt really uncomfortable just having every single post I write be an Etsy seller. It wasn't really creating a good rhythm on the blog, so I thought it would be best to kind of put them all together once a week, so that not only readers had something to really look forward to, but I also could curate all the different shops that I was finding and kind of put them together according to like a color theme or some type of a theme, which is what I do. So that's kind of how that all happened.
Have you noticed any themes in terms of what type of posts work best? Do you do how-to type stuff, or is it more showcase? What do readers respond best to?
Readers definitely respond to posts that kind of touch the heart. Like when I post about certain concerns that are happening in the independent world of art and design, a lot of people respond like, oh boy, a week or two ago, I don't know if you caught that, but I posted about copyright and what people can do to kind of help themselves when they notice their work is being ripped off. And it was, wow. I mean, the comments that came in, and not just, you know, comments that were negative or critical. There's no one comments like that on my site. People were just coming in with comments that were really good. I mean, some comments were like posts in themselves. Yeah. They were just, the people that comment, the readers on Decorate, are really intelligent, talented people. And sometimes I read their posts and I think, God, their comments, and I think, man, they write better than I do. I mean, they're really talented people, and they have a very broad background, and I really enjoy reading their comments. So those are the types of blog posts that really seem to resonate with people when I talk about issues like that surround the independent art and design world that people are having, like with copyright and, everything. There's so many.
Yeah. I find the same on on digital photography scores, when it's not so much the how-to stuff, that's well received, but it's when you talk about a challenge that a photographer has, or when you talk about, you know, a lack of inspiration or those sort of heart things, that people really resonate with that and come out of the woodwork. So
yeah, they do, huh? It's great.
You wouldn't want to have every post like that, I guess, but it helps a lot.
Hmm.
So what advice would you give a new blogger who wanted to think about, you know, developing a workflow and coming up with content that hits the spot with people?
Yeah, I think the first thing you need to do is you need to be consistent. You don't have to schedule columns or write in advance if you don't want to. I didn't do that and I still have a successful blog. I think the success comes if you're just really consistent. I write regularly, and readers know that I'll show up every day, Monday through Friday. They know they can depend on that. I mean, now and then I take a day off, but I don't abandon my site for days or weeks at a time. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important as a blog author to really establish a schedule in the beginning so that expectations are set according to what you're able to do, not what you hope you can do. If you can't write daily, then at least write a few times a week, or write only on Fridays, but be consistent so that others will know when they can sort of expect you to show up. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the next tip I would give is really listen to your readers. The best bloggers are those who really listen to the readers. When readers comment, don't just glaze over them and, you know, publish the comments and move on. Read those comments. Don't hire someone else to read them for you. None of that. Read those comments, because what people tell you, that's what you need to hear. Even the criticism, you need to listen to the criticism. It's hard to take, but sometimes there are pearls of wisdom in criticism. So yeah, I definitely would suggest being consistent and really listening to your readers. They can help guide you in what you need to be posting.
What do you do when you want to take a holiday?
Oh man, that's when I call my clone in. Yeah. No, I honestly, when I take a holiday, usually what I do is I contact my friends in the online world that are also bloggers, and I just beg them to do a little blog post or do a guest post for me, and they always come through. And I scheduled blog posts from my contributors during that time. And that's just super helpful, because then I can go away and really relax and not feel like I need to be behind my laptop.
Yeah. You mentioned listening to, you know, some of those critique comments. What do you get many negative comments on your blog?
Oh, in the beginning? Yeah. Oh boy. In the beginning, 2006, 2007, I thought it was just never going to end. I mean, it was consistent negativity, and people call them blog trolls or whatever. But, you know, sometimes the trolls are really, like I said, they can say things that are hurtful, but sometimes there is actually truth behind things that people are saying, even though it's said in a very untactful, negative way. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes there's no truth and people are just being wicked and there's nothing you can do about that. But yeah, I definitely had that more in the beginning, but now it's rare, if ever. I have, watch after this podcast, they'll all be on my site ripping into me, but no, you know, fingers crossed. I haven't had any meanies on my site lately, so that's good.
Oh, that's good. I find that, yeah. I've seen similar thing, like, often in the early days, and sort of a culture seems to develop on a blog, and it becomes a bit more positive if the blogger is a positive person. It often can switch over time. Yeah. So yeah. you mentioned before you've got a monthly regular columnist. Why did you start to include other voices on your blog?
Well, I met Leslie in April 2009. She took a class that I taught online about blogging, and I was really impressed by her style. Her color stories were just beautiful. I mean, they're something that you'd expect to see in publications. And I loved her work on her own blog, and I felt like we had a connection. I'd visit her blog, and often I'd find colors and items that I'd had just purchased, like the tea she drinks or the magazine that she reads and her arts and crafts projects and supplies. And I kept seeing this theme, like we were connected without really knowing it. Mm. And so I approached her and I said, hey, you know, I have an idea. I'd love for you to be a columnist on Decorate. I've never really taken on a columnist before, and that sounds so official. And but I told her, you know, it's a paid job, and I'd love for her to handle a column. And I outlined what I was looking for, and it worked out really well. And so she started on that last year, and she's doing it again this year.
So you mentioned before when you give her some direction around those posts.
Yeah, a little bit, you know, color direction. She'll shoot me an email and say, hey, Holly, you know, what are you looking for colors for this particular column? And I'll tell her, hey, you know, like the one she just ran today, I suggested doing some pastels and kind of this whole, you know, soft palette for the season. And she like the idea, and it just, we're not, I'm not that, that tough. I just tell her, give her some color direction, and then she just runs with it. She's super creative. She doesn't need really any hand holding from me. So I just let her run with it. She's amazing.
Yeah. Would you have any advice for people looking to bring in a columnist?
Yeah. I think, you know, there's a difference between, columnist and guest post. I mean, guest post are people that just kind of show up and do posts now and then, which is what I have when I'm on holiday. But when you hire a columnist, you know, I think it's important that you pay them. And I also think it's important that you really think about, why do you need a columnist? Is it really something that you can't do yourself, or are you looking to add a new voice? And if so, you need to make sure this person has a similar aesthetic and that their style and their voice is a little bit similar to yours, so that they don't come in and then all of a sudden your blog looks and feels different all of a sudden. Mm. So you really need to kind of figure out what you really want this columnist to do, and you need to put together an agreement with them and outline some of your expectations and your due date and run dates for their post and all this, and how much you're going to compensate them, and, you know, be professional in how you deal with your columnist. But yeah, that's the advice I would give.
Do you see yourself adding more columnists?
Oh, you know, I've been asked to, and I'm not against it. I think I would. It's taken me a little bit of time, because this site is, I guess, my baby, and I've grown it from nothing, and it went from zero to 35,000 readers a day, and I'm really happy with that. And so sometimes I feel a little overprotective of my child, but I need to let go. And Leslie was the first start for me, and I think if I find some more people that are like Leslie, I definitely would try it out.
Great. One of the questions I had, I tweeted yesterday that I was interviewing you, and Christopher R2-D2 asked a question.
Oh, I love his name.
Yeah, it's cool. He asked two, actually. So the first one was, there's a strange pattern of comments on Decorate. Some posts have 1 to 10, while others have 40 to 60. How does she get the latter?
Oh, that's funny. I'm surprised the guy with R2-D2 handle actually reads a girly design blog.
Maybe he just went and had a quick look.
Yeah, I think he did. That's hot. I like that. No, I think with that is, post that where I'm speaking of the work of a photographer, or I'm showing a stylist portfolio or whatever, there's not a whole lot for people to chime in and say about that. I mean, they're going to throw in the comment, yeah, that's nice, or that's great, or oh, I like that. But there's really not a lot of conversation that can develop from that type of a post. And then there are posts that a conversation can definitely develop, like the one I mentioned earlier where we were talking about copyright. Those are the ones where hundreds of people can get involved in the conversation. So, and again, my goal in posting isn't to drum up, you know, tons of comments per post. My goal in writing my site is always just to share things that I like. And if you build it, they'll come. You know, if people are interested, they'll comment. And if they're not, they won't. It's fine for me. Mm. Yeah.
Looking at your Alexa ranking, I think you ranked 38,000, so it's fairly healthy, and you are getting a lot of comments. What was there any tipping point in terms of the amount of traffic that you were getting? Was it a gradual thing, or did they just suddenly appear one day after something you did?
Yeah, no, it's been solid and growing, which is very satisfying. I currently have 35,000 daily readers, unique readers. And to date, I have about 60,000 comments since I launched in January of 06. So I'm proud of that, but I don't really view my success on the number of people that are reading my site as much as I do the number of loyal readers that I have. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of my readers are very loyal, and this is really what makes me happy and makes me keep showing up every day to blog. I don't think there was an actual point where things just automatically spiked out of the blue. It's just been gradual. And that's where the real patience of being a blogger comes in, is you just can't expect to get started and overnight have a billion readers. This really takes time, because the type of blog I author is more of touchy-feely. I mean, it's decorating. It's something that's very close to one's heart, and it really matters to people. And it's a topic that is different than celebrities and celebrity gossip or automobile blog, or, mm-hmm. you know, blogs like that can grow quickly, or maybe can grow overnight, because the topic isn't one where you really need to build trust with your readers. Mm-hmm. But with a blog like Decorate, because it's a blog that's, it's definitely more of a site where people connect and really want to trust me, it takes time to build it. So it's been slow, gradually building the site. But yeah, I'm really proud of where it is after 4 years, definitely.
That's great.
Thank you.
Where did you promote the blog in the early days, or how, or did you?
No, I never promoted it. I basically, when I first got started, because I was so new and there were very few design blogs out there, it was kind of a new thing. And when I found blogs, I would just comment on different people's blogs, and I would write to some different editors now and then and talk to them about my blog. I'd write to magazine editors and talk to them about my blog. But that was really it. There really wasn't a lot of promotion I could do. I was broke. I just left a job I had been in for 10 years. I didn't really know what I was doing, but I just had passion for my topic. And so I just kept plugging away and writing every day, and people just showed up.
I noticed you have a press page, and you seem to have had a few appearances in the press. So how do they come about? Is it just simply through relationships that you have, or...?
Yeah. Well, since 2006, I mean, I've had quite a bit of, probably monthly, consistently, press mentions, anywhere from big, you know, newspapers like the London Times, all the way to smaller publications locally produced. Also been in many different books, and it happens, I think, through word of mouth. Again, it's this type of blog that I author is developed over time through trust. And when people enter into this relationship with you through your blog, they feel close to you, and I feel close to a lot of my readers. And it's just natural that we're going to talk about these relationships that we establish online. And so people are talking about the site, and this is great. I'm really very thankful for that.
You seem to be using social media. I've seen you on Twitter and Facebook. is that something that you've done for a long time? Is it a big part of what you do?
Yeah, Twitter and Facebook are pretty cool. I actually started Twitter when I think they just launched it. So I was there at the beginning. And Facebook took me, I got involved in Facebook right away too, but it took me a little longer to warm up to it. Yeah. In the beginning, I really didn't like either, honestly, Twitter and Facebook. I'm just like, what is this? What are these weird names? What is this all about? But then I quickly changed my mind when I started to see these as avenues, like as alternate ways in which to share and build friendships outside of my blog. Twitter is wonderful. I mean, I can toss out any question and immediately have some answers. And to me, I've often compared it to working in this great big office where you happen to like everyone who sits around you, and where everyone happens to have something meaningful and helpful to contribute. And so with Twitter, you can build your own virtual office space, and then you can kind of shout out over your cubicle wall to your other friends with questions and ideas, and then they kind of shout back. And I really like it. I mean, it's really helped me to not be lonely, because I work from home all day, and you can really get isolated in your little bubble. And Twitter is just fantastic. It really has been fantastic for me. And I know that both are referred to as microblogging, but I don't really see it as a blog replacement. It's more of a supplement. It's a communication tool for me that's quick and easy. And I still prefer blogging over both applications, because to me, blogging is just much more accessible. It's personal, it's visual, and you have archives and comments and stuff all in one place. But I'm still really big fan of Twitter and Facebook.
That's great. How have you built your presence on Twitter so far? You 12,000 followers. Any tips there?
No tips as much as, I'm sorry, I wish I had some amazing tips. But
every time you say no, there's something good in it, so keep talking.
Yeah, well, maybe. It's just I'm pretty social anyway. You know, I've always been very outgoing, and I genuinely care about other people, and I think other people can kind of tell that, and it comes across maybe online in a way that I wanted to. You know, I was a little scared at first. I didn't want people to think I was being friendly because I wanted something in return, because I don't. But with Twitter, I think it just kind of happened because I tweet back to people. I talk to people all the time on there, and it's sincere. I really do care. So maybe that's how it's all kind of happened. Mm-hmm.
So you're a columnist on Real Simple. I'm not really familiar with Real Simple, so you might need to tell us what that is, but it seems to be something that has a bit of profile attached to it. Does that help your blog at all?
Oh, yeah, realsimple.com. It's actually a print magazine in the States. It's owned by Time Incorporated, and their slogan is Life Made Easy Every Day, and it's a magazine that's really focused on home and organizing and just time-saving tips. And yes, they have an online site, and I've been a columnist there for a couple years now, and it's definitely, I think, helped me because, being associated with such a widely read publication in the U.S. is help my career. Mm. Anytime a writer is associated with a publication like Real Simple, it definitely builds your reputation and also, you know, your traffic too. Yep, definitely.
Are you able to link back to your site from that, or is it just more of helping your name and profile?
They have my profile on their site, my biography and such, and on there is a link to my blog. And yeah, they definitely, they shout me out a lot on their main website as well. And yeah, I do have that, but mostly I'm just concerned about building their own traffic and readership on their own site. Yep. When I'm on Real Simple, I work for Real Simple. I don't work for Decorate anymore. You know what I'm saying? So I devote my energy and time into kind of building their audience. And then, so I'm not that concerned about pulling their traffic over to my site. I'm more concerned about just helping them develop their own traffic.
That's great.
Yeah.
Let's talk money.
Oh, yeah, baby. Makes the world go round.
That's right. How do you monetize Decorate?
Well, when it comes to that online, I think there's a wealth of ideas and techniques on making money, but most of them are theories.
Yeah.
A few people earn even a part-time income from design blog, never mind, you know, full-time income. I earn a full-time living solely on Decorate because I have ad space in the right column. Like I said before, design blogs are not like celebrity gossip blogs or fashion blogs. You know, readers really know and care when they start feeling like you're trying to make money from them. Mm-hmm. So that's why I don't sign on large companies to advertise on my site, and I don't put tons of blinky ads, and I don't just, you know, make it look like a billboard, because people will start to see that, and I think they would start to question my motivation. So, you know, I'd rather lose the income but have readers who really feel comfortable on the site. But I also am, I also need to make an income because this is my full-time occupation. So I have the advertisement on my site, and that works really well.
Have you tried any other types of monetization?
No, not really. I haven't tried anything. I mean, I'm an Amazon affiliate, which is like $15 a month profit. Yeah. It's pretty horrible, actually. I couldn't be the Amazon spokeswoman for that. But the ad space is pretty much it. And also I have the Blogging Your Way e-course, which I run a few times a year, and that generates income, but that's separate from the blog. So
yeah. In terms of selling the ads, does that take a lot of time? I know a lot of bloggers sort of shy away from selling ads directly to advertisers because they think it's going to take them a lot of energy. Is that something that you found?
Yeah. I mean, when I first started blogging, the idea of ads on design blogs was still a pretty new concept. I mean, no one really knew back then what to charge or how it worked. And I don't know if you were blogging back then. You probably were. You sound like you've been doing this forever. You're like the super pro blogger. But back then, I don't know, do you remember when people actually tried to experiment with tip jars? on their site.
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't that concept make you laugh now? Can you imagine having a tip jar on ProBlogger? I mean, I don't know. It just doesn't work. But I remember those days, and I remember blogs putting up their little tip jars, and that was just how it was, you know. It was, and then all of a sudden people started to take it a little more seriously, and advertisers started to approach people as they saw there was a market there, and then it started to grow. But yeah, I have readers who don't really know how ads work, and some of them have blogs and they'd like to have ads on their site. And my suggestion there is to just really learn how it works, buy a few books, read ProBlogger and figure it all out and put together a media sheet and, you know, an ad sheet, and just approach people that you feel would be good for your readers to connect with.
Yeah. And do you find your advertisers just renewing every month, or are you having lots of advertisers come and go?
No, I've actually had very consistent advertisers. I mean, the ones that are above the fold have been there almost since the beginning. Mm-hmm. Too Modern has been there ever since I started blogging. He was the first one who ever contacted me and made me even think of ad space. I remember in 2006, I think it was March, so it was like 2 months after I'd started, and he said, "Hey, Holly, you know, you don't know me, but I run Too Modern, and I'm interested in advertising on your site, and I don't see any ads there. You know, would you charge me?" And I wrote him back and basically said, "I have no clue. What do you want to pay me?"
Yep.
I'm serious. I really said that. I'm so embarrassed.
That's a good strategy. I find it.
How much you want to pay me, right?
Yeah.
And he told me, and we cut a little deal, and I threw his ad up on the site, and then other people saw it. Fabulous Stationery was next. They saw the ad, and then they wanted to get in on it too. And before I knew it, I had a whole line of ads there. And then over time, I started to, the whole ad network thing online started to really develop, and it wasn't such a new concept anymore. And people were finally figuring out how it works. And then, of course, I became more professional in my approach. Yeah. But to date, I've never contacted a single advertiser. I've never pitched the idea of advertising on my site to anyone. Everyone has come to me up to this point. So it's mostly word of mouth and people having success, and they can just come back.
That's a great story. I think it's really exciting. A lot on ProBlogger, we talk about monetizing your site directly through advertising or affiliate marketing, and then indirectly by selling something else, or selling a product, or selling yourself. Do you do any indirect, I guess, monetization of your site? Has it led to any consulting or anything else?
Oh, yeah, I'm really glad you asked that question, because I think that's a lot of things people don't think about when they have a blog. They only see it as an opportunity to maybe have some ads. But you're right. I mean, there are so many other ways in which you can make money from blogging that has nothing to do with ads. Like you said, offering consulting services or selling products. I mean, even people that don't have ads, but they have their Etsy shop in their column, they're still selling something. And it's fine. I mean, it's smart. And I think you have to look out for yourself financially, and there's nothing wrong with that. So did I answer your question?
No, I think you said it was a good question. Has it led to any opportunities for you, I guess?
That's what you asked me.
No, that's
sorry.
Fine. Sorry. That's fine.
So it has. I mean, I've been offered a lot of different work and interesting opportunities, but most of the time I've declined a lot of them just due to time. I don't have a lot of time to run around and do the things that sometimes I even want to do. In the beginning I did some e-consultations, and I took on some design jobs that I found via my blog through people who approached me. But then after 2007, 2008, I just didn't have the time anymore.
Mm. A question I try and ask most people that I interview is, what's the number one thing that you're trying to get people to do when they come to your site? Or another way to put it would be, what is a conversion for you?
Oh, definitely. If someone can come to my site and feel inspired and happy and positive and walk away saying, you know, that was a nice experience, I saw something I liked today. I learned about someone I would have never known about otherwise. I connected with someone through the comment section. I just want to be a resource. I want people to know that they can come to this sunny, happy place. You know, they can kind of leave their world for a moment and enter this world. And it's a privilege when people tell me that that's their experience on the site, that they feel positive and productive from it. And I really want it to remain that way.
Great. Have you had any challenges living outside of the US, where a lot of stuff seems to happen in the blogging world?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of cool, actually, because when I lived in the US, I felt kind of like I was, you know, just another blogger, because there's so many over there now. Thank God. It's a beautiful community. There's most of my friends are over there writing blogs, and it's great. But when I stepped out and I entered into Germany and I'm blogging over here where it's still kind of new, I feel like it's 2006 all over again. And it's exciting. I never thought it would really feel this way. And it's exciting. And I find that I have to kind of sell myself more here, because a lot of people still don't really take it seriously. Yeah, it's different and I really like it. And I feel kind of invigorated by it. Like, okay, yeah, I have a new task, you know, a new challenge, and I really like it. But yeah, it does feel a little disconnected sometimes when you're in Europe and, well, not Europe, when you're, I can only speak from being in Hanover, Germany, but when you're here in Hanover, you know, you're outside of the US, of course, and those things that you would have just seen naturally going down the street or hopping on a plane and flying somewhere for an hour, you don't have access to anymore. And sometimes that can be a little hard, but at the same time, there's so much over here that's just untapped and undiscovered that it's a great challenge.
Do you outsource any part of your blogging? Are you, I think you mentioned earlier before this call that you've brought your husband on.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool. I wish I could convince my wife to come on, although I wish she had some technical skills too.
I wish I had kids. I'd convert everybody. Are you kidding? I'd love to convert my mother-in-law, my mom. I could easily build an empire with my family, but no one will do it.
Yeah. What was the thinking behind bringing him on? What does he do?
Oh, well, he is a principal data architect. That's his profession. Mm-hmm. But he's also a photographer, a hobby photographer, though I think he could easily be professional. I mean, he's really good, and he's also a writer. He composes music. He writes, he's working right now on a novel, and he's really very talented in many areas. And the thing that kind of launched me asking him to help is when we moved to Hanover, he no longer had his job in the States. And so he was not employed and he had a little bit more time and he wanted to take about a year off to just kind of figure out his next step. And so while he's taking off this time, you know, he offered to give me a hand with the advertising component and some of the technical pieces of the site, because he saw that it was just really starting to bog me down. I mean, it's impossible to manage everything yourself, especially when you're not that technical and you're not that big on numbers. I mean, I'm not a numbers person at all. So me running advertising and running the technical back end of the site, it just didn't work. And I asked him, you know, yeah, if you're willing to help and you find it interesting work, then of course I would love to have you get involved. And I'll tell you, since he got involved, I mean, my work is so much better now. I have no writer's block anymore. I don't get into these creative ruts that I was falling into now and then, because he just took so much anxiety off of my shoulders. And he works on the site about probably an average of 10 hours a week. So he's still able to pursue his interest, and it's really works out very well.
There you go. There's the solution to writer's block, is hire your husband.
That's right. I tell you, it's really the way to go if you have a family member who's willing to help you out. Yeah.
That's great.
Definitely. Yeah, thanks.
You mentioned earlier blogging your way. Can you tell us a little bit about that and why you started it?
Yeah, it's Blogging Your Way is an online blogging workshop. It's held in a private dedicated website, and it's accessible only by a limited number of students. And in the class, students can expect written materials, podcasts, handouts, a forum, weekly homework assignments. And in the class, I cover a broad range of topics that include overcoming fear and writer's block, creative post topics and ideas for your blog, how to handle negativity online, social networking tips, template ideas, things like that. And in the past session that I held, I actually hired on my husband as a tech expert so students could ask him questions and get support on technical topics. And I hired on a co-teacher, Leslie, who taught students how to personalize their blog more through photography and styling. And normally, these classes have around 200 students worldwide. I had some Australians in the class, so you might like to know that. And even though it seems like a lot of students, I break them down into groups of around 20 towards the last half of the class. So they're really able to connect with each other, and it's a positive, inspirational atmosphere. And I think being a closed atmosphere is really great because it's free of judgment, and it really provides bloggers on all levels with access to a lot of resources and a chance to build friendships, and they can really apply a lot of what they're learning right away on their own blog.
And when are you doing the next one? How can people get involved?
Yeah, I'm doing the next one. It probably is going to be in September and will be for 5 weeks since we're getting close to the holidays then. And I don't want to give people too much on their plate with holiday preparation. But yeah, September, and I'll be announcing it on the blog in August.
That's great. And is it, do you attract mainly sort of people in your niche to that course? Or is it wider?
It's a broad niche. Yeah, it's pretty broad. I mean, I have food bloggers and design and art and photographers, all different types. Yeah. But mostly the ladies. Yeah. I had two men in the last class and they were so quiet because I think they felt a little left out, but, it's mostly ladies. I wish more men would get involved, but hey, you know, I understand.
Sounds like, my year 9 typing class.
Yeah. Maybe you should start a blogging class. Yeah, but maybe you should start a blogging class because you're the expert and you could draw more men where I'm drawing in lots of the ladies. So
Maybe we should talk about doing one together.
That's right.
So what's next for Holly?
Well, I'm working on two projects right now. One is very close to my heart. It's local. And the other one is more far-reaching. The local project is a handmade market in my city here in Hanover, Germany. I've formed a team of designers, and we're four of us. And we're determined to have this market. We have a vision for it. We want to create a living blog exhibition, you know, showing things that you'd see usually virtually, but in a real space. And we're going to have an installation and a DJ, and we're having workshops and a special speaker who will come and speak about handmade crafts and emerging design. It's really a kind of a new thing here. I mean, in Hanover, we don't have a big trend of markets like you guys do in Australia and the way they have them in the States. There's not a big handmade market thing happening here. So this was a really big kind of undertaking, even though in most parts of where I come from, this is something that's very common. But over here, it's a big undertaking, and so I've been working really hard on this. And my table at the event will feature work from some of my personal favorites. And so it's really going to be nice, and I'm looking forward to that. And then the other project that's more far-reaching is that I just signed a book deal. So
congratulations.
Yeah, I'm excited about that, mostly because it's something that I've been wanting to do since I was a child. And when you have a dream that you've had that long, you know, you really want it to happen eventually, right? So I was ready for it. But I'm writing a book along with an English interiors writer, Joanna Kopstick, and it's going to be a start to finish home style book with around 1,000 tips from well-known design experts with photography and just a lot of good advice. And the first part of this project involves scouting locations, which I've been assigned to. And so I'll go, I'm scouting locations currently, and then I'm going to go on lots of shoots with a photographer, which will be nice because I'll get to, you know, meet a photographer and work in with them personally and learn a little bit more about how these things are produced, because I've never been in this environment before. It'll be nice to be on the other side, you know. And then I'll be traveling around the U.S. and around Europe to put all this together, and then attending some photo meetings and working closely with my team in London to make sure that the book reflects the aesthetic that we're shooting for. And then I'll be interviewing these homeowners and writing the book alongside of Joanna. So I'm really excited to work on this project. It's going to be interesting to do something in print because so much of what I do is online. So, and it's a gift for my readers. I really want people to have something that's in print that they can enjoy and have on their coffee table.
Yeah. And yeah. Do you think having the blog helped you get the deal?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt. Definitely. Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Had I approached anyone in 2006, I think they would have laughed and walked away. So, yeah, it's this profession has brought me more opportunities than I could have ever imagined.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Holly. I'll probably better wrap it up now, or else I might have to break this into two parts. Yeah. But it's been really fascinating chatting to you, and yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing where things go next for you.
Thank you so much, Darren, and I hope you have a great day.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye.